This is the Inside Data Center Podcast. We talk to the people who power the data center sector to give you insider info on everything happening in DC today. Here's your host, Andy Davis.
Welcome to the Inside Data Center Podcast. Today I'm joined by Michael Crabb, the SVP of Commercial at Last Energy. Good morning, Michael.
Morning. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure. It's going to be an interesting conversation, this one, because power is probably the most talked about topic in the industry right now. It comes up on probably every single podcast that I record. So it's going to be interesting to talk to someone on the other side of the industry, really, that's coming at the power challenge with a solution. So looking forward to hearing your views on how we can manage that ongoing problem. Before we go into that, do you want to give everyone a quick introduction of who you are and what your role is at Last Energy?
Great. Yeah, sure. I have 15 years of energy markets experience, mostly in power and a little bit of midstream gas, on both the investor side, the operator side, and the project development side. My team at Last Energy oversees our power purchase agreement origination, project development, and project financing. We are what the power industry likes to call energy as a service, which is clearly a take on software as a service. So we're borrowing from the digital infra space, where we are a full suite developer and operator of our energy solution. And then we sell power to customers such as data centers who, as you said, are constrained by power supply. So that's us in a nutshell.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll go into a bit more detail on that. You touched on it briefly there, that your background is from other sectors in relation to power. And again, a big point that I've tried to make on a lot of podcasts is our need to look for experience in other areas and not just take the people from the data center sector and move them around the industry, which is what we've historically done. So I'm just interested really to kind of how your career led you towards data centers and also how you found it since you came into this industry, because again, the perception's not always the reality of the world of data centers.
Yeah, interesting. So, I started my career in private equity, we were investing in power assets in the United States. So I looked at all sorts of generating technologies. Our core expertise at the time was natural gas-fired power plants. So we built a couple of portfolios of gas-fired power plants and then financed them a few times and then sold them to other companies. I then spent some time doing project development and operations of power assets. So again, neither of these things are data center oriented, but I'll close the loop on the backside. But that decade of energy markets experience sort of led me to nuclear as a solution to what's been an evolving problem over the last handful of years, right? Which is an increase in energy demand. I think over the last decade or two, we've had stagnant demand in the United States, a lot of that due to energy efficiency measures and a lot of it due to offshoring, right? So removing our manufacturing overseas, we're growing on the back of foreign imports. And that's all starting to change with the data center space and with reshoring, right? With the investment or Inflation Reduction Act and some of those things. So that's sort of my history. And then coming into nuclear and then data centers are sort of two leaps that someone might say, oh, well, that seems very different. But it isn't really, right? Like project development is project development. You need to find siting. You need to submit permits. You need to figure out electric connections, right? On the power side, we've got to connect to the grid and we complain that it takes too long. Data centers, they're on the demand side. They have to connect to the grid. They complain it takes too long, right? And you go through a permitting process, usually has some public disclosure requirements, right? It has some technical requirements. And then you need to package that business case and raise funding for it. So the data center industry is actually very analogous to power infrastructure and energy infrastructure development broadly. It's just a question of what that energy conversion machine or widget actually is, right? So when I started natural gas, I was converting MMBTUs into megawatt hours. Now I convert MMBTUs out of rock into megawatt hours, right? And the data center space takes those megawatt hours and converts them into megabytes, right?
I see. Exactly. It's power is power, I guess, for the putting it down to the layman level for anyone listening. It is, you know, your power solution is the challenge you're trying to solve, and whatever that may be. And obviously, Last Energy, you touched on it briefly in the overview of your role and your introduction, but do you want to give a bit more insight into what your solution is? And then we can discuss how that reacts to the data center industry.
Yeah, of course. And I'll maybe answer that two ways. I think our core solution is the business model, and then we have an underlying product that enables that. So that solution of a business model isn't something new. In fact, the data center space and some of the big box retail stores really drove this idea of a corporate power purchase agreement, right? Where they said, you know what, an electron isn't an electron, right? There's a value to having renewable or sustainable electrons. And so, you know, me, the energy, or they, the energy buyer, you know, is going to say, hey, I'm going to leverage my purchasing power to influence this commodity market. And so they've started building over the last, you know, 10, 15 years, a real marketplace for power purchase agreements, where someone will build a power plant and a customer, a company, will buy power on a dollar per megawatt hour basis, or a euro per megawatt hour, or pound per megawatt hour basis. It differs from your utility connection, which is you say, I'm going to connect to the utility. I can take up to this much power, and the utility is just going to bill me monthly. Whatever the price of power is that month, that's the price I get. And so there was quite a bit of surprise, I think, with some of our customers over the last year or two with price volatility, right? You get lulled into this false sense of security, and it's like, well, it's not that way, right? The price can move all over the place. And there's other non-commodity charges associated with that as well. So the power purchase agreement says, okay, we're going to fix that price for you, right? There's some financial structuring that allows you to go from a floating power price to a fixed power price, or some other structure as you deem appropriate for your risk management and procurement needs. And so the Last Energy solution is that exact business model on the provider side. We say, hey, we've got an underlying product that I'll talk about in a minute that provides around-the-clock baseload carbon-free power, and we'll sell that to people that need around-the-clock baseload carbon-free power. And generally, it's for term, so 10 to 25 years, depending on our specific customer sets. The data center space tends to be 15 to 20, generally matching up with their lease terms. So that's the product that we're selling to the data center space. The underlying technology, right, what we'll call our widget, is a 20 megawatt pressurized water reactor nuclear power plant called a micro nuclear power plant. And they are completely self-contained. So we will deploy in 20 megawatts the same way you think about your diesel gen sets, right? That if you need 100, we'll put 5. And for the data center space, maybe we'll put 6, right? If you want N+1 and you're right. And are we talking about max, you know, your MVA connection? Are we talking about your actual IT load? So we work those things out together with our customers that need that power. But that's the underlying product. And then the innovation that we've brought to the space on the construction side is to make the entire power plant completely modular. And again, this is a bit of a technique that we borrowed or stole from the data center space, right? That the entire power plant is delivered in 12 by 12 by 48 steel frame modules. And we've built a number of these modules now, two in Texas and one in Poland, to demonstrate and to both qualify our supply chain and to demonstrate the modularity and work through the fit ups of those modules. So we're really excited about, you know, advancing our portfolio into commercial operation.
Yeah, from a modular perspective, I also guess that gives you the ability to take it wherever it's needed. Because again, a lot of the challenges around the data center industry are geography, you know, where these facilities are. And that is obviously impacts from the power availability, but also just getting supply to these locations can be quite challenging. So the modular aspect ticks that box as well.
Yeah, and maybe I'll maybe I'll just make a clarification on that too, because there's some people, they say modular and they really mean mobile. Our power plant isn't really mobile. So the modularity for us is a schedule benefit, right? When data centers say go, they mean go, right? Like the tenants of your data center, they need the power. They're planning on that compute. They're doing billions of dollars a quarter of new development, right? They need that ASAP. And so the modularity for us really minimizes schedule and schedule risk. So that is the clear piece for us. The location aspect of it is sort of a fundamental truth of nuclear itself. One of the reasons why nuclear is such a great solution, because it really doesn't require local input. So I've done solar, I've done wind, I've done natural gas, I've looked at biomass development, right? All of those require some sort of feedstock. And even on the renewable side, people say, oh, there's no fuel. Well, there's a lot of work on a siting perspective around what your solar resource is, what your wind resource is, what sort of shadows are there going to be, or wake effects, right? Obviously, on the gas biomass side, it's all about what your feedstock story is. And that really starts constraining where you can place your generating technology. For nuclear, because it's so energy dense, we only have to refuel it once every 6 years. And so it's this very small amount of fuel that is completely self-contained. And then the one little innovation that we've done, or the design choice that we've made, is to have what we call air cooling. So the cold side of the steam turbine, we use fin fan heat exchangers. So these are basically fans on the roof that create the cooling to suck heat through the steam turbine. Again, not a new invention, but it does take away that large cooling tower that people associate with nuclear sort of unfairly. It's just a function of any thermal power plant. And so that's a number of added benefits for us.
Yeah, definitely. And how's it been received by the industry? Because again, the data center sector can be one of those sectors where it says it's open to new ideas, but it's actually not as receptive to new ideas as it likes to think it is. So how have your conversations been going with the developers or the operators in the industry?
Yeah, it is funny. I'll borrow a line from a colleague of mine in the space. He says the data center industry loves innovation as long as it's 10 years old. So 2 years ago, the data center space was talking a lot about this, but when you actually sat down to put pen to paper, all of a sudden it was like, ooh, I don't know. Ooh, I'm super busy. Maybe. I think the last 6 to 12 months, as people have gotten their grid connections pushed back or canceled, or the hyperscalers have started to talk about time matching power, right? All this sort of REC nonsense is starting to sort of be exposed. And then you add on the growth opportunity around artificial intelligence. I don't know if all of the hype is real, but the per rack, like the kilowatt per rack here, is a order of magnitude larger, right? So even if half the hype is true, the data center space will be a top 10 energy consumer out of the countries in the world, right? And so I think those three things have driven an enormous push to find real solutions. So we've signed a number of term sheets, even over the last few months, with data center customers to build both virtual PPAs, where we connect to the grid and we sell over the grid, as well as private wire PPAs, where we're establishing development opportunities together and connecting into one common substation.
Interesting. And from a scalability perspective as well, because this is another a question that comes up when you talk about new power solutions, the skeptics out there, I guess, say, yeah, but is it scalable? How big can this go? As the demand for power increases, as you say, due to rack density and sheer scale of some of these facilities, not all of them, because there will always be the smaller or the micro on the edge facilities as well. How scalable is it from a cost perspective, as well as from a scalability perspective?
Maybe I'll answer those backwards. I mean, the beauty of having the same product, the same energy generating station every time, right? When you're building a 20 megawatt power station, it doesn't have local resource constraints, right? So it's literally the same thing every time. And if you want 200 megawatts, we'll build 10 of them. It is in that sense, technically infinitely scalable, right? People get very uncomfortable with that just because of their bias around what like a nuclear power plant is, but you don't build one giant solar panel or one giant wind farm, right? In fact, the ability to do the same thing many times is what unlocks the first part of your comment, right? Which is that scalability when it comes to delivery and financing. And so it's actually a key, even though it's like uncommon for people to think about it that way, it is a key reason why we think it's both economic today, right? And it becomes even more economic moving forward into the future, because we will do it not once, not 10 times, but hundreds of times, the thousands of times, and it will get better, right? That's Moore's law. It will get better every single time. We'll get faster and more efficient every single time, and we'll access cheaper capital over time. And that playbook was done first with coal, then with natural gas, then with wind. Like we've seen this play out before.
Yeah, it's definitely that, I know. And sometimes, obviously, the questions are deliberate to draw out the answer that you believe. But it is that, I think, and it brings me on to my next question, because I think people are just quite siloed in opinions and perception, and they don't always fully understand what the solution is. They just see that giant nuclear power station that we all see in the media when, well, in the UK, they're building a couple at the moment. It's what we see all the time. But and I guess perception is one of the challenges, isn't it, for nuclear power or nuclear energy, because it's similar to the data center industry has a huge problem with perception as well, which is why I started this podcast in the first place. But then when you link in nuclear as well, you have this challenge of, we don't really want you building a data center in our backyard, and we definitely don't want it powered by nuclear. But all of that is a lack of understanding. So how can we overcome that from a nuclear energy perspective?
Yeah, I have a very different lens on that problem. I've done liquefied natural gas, wind, solar, and a little bit of biomass development in my time. And nobody likes any of those, really, right? Like people just, it's just basic human tribalism that if you are going to build even like a three-story apartment, someone is going to oppose you. So if we start as that as the baseline, I don't actually believe it's about an understanding. I don't think anyone has ever gone to a town hall wanting to learn. People go to town halls mostly to complain, right? Like even people that are supportive, they're probably not going to the town hall and taking time off work, right? So the people that are going are self-selecting to complain about something. I think rather than approach that development as like, we need to educate people, they just don't understand, and which has an undertone of like, I know more than you. We actually have to go to those town halls just to listen, just to hear people. We don't try to like educate people on nuclear and say, hey, here's like, we don't talk about millirems and millisieverts and all of these like technical topics. We say, hey, what's important in your life? Right? You need more school, or you want a better hospital access, or you need more jobs. Like, what does the community actually want? And that's really what people want to hear when you're talking about a development perspective. So that's the hyper local answer to your question. I actually, the way the question is usually framed to me around nuclear perception is other people don't like it. I've very rarely in any room does someone say, hey, I really don't like it. And usually I surprise people. I say I agree with most nuclear skeptics or people that would call themselves anti-nuclear, because they've generally looked at the technology and have no problems with it. They complain about cost and schedule, to which I say, absolutely agree, right? It does not make sense to use $20 billion taxpayer dollars to build a plant over 20 years. And I can't believe how like the industry doesn't even acknowledge how crazy that is, right? Like that's just crazy. It's horrible. And so for the most part, when we're coming in, we're saying, hey, we're a private developer. We're going to own and operate this facility. We are going to supply power to your community, to power jobs, to power industry. And oh, by the way, it looks nice, right? It's only three stories tall. It's got a nice facade on it. There's no cooling tower. We're not impacting your watershed. Like, all of a sudden, people are like, oh, that's pretty interesting, right? Like, you mean I don't have to look at a field of solar panels? Like, that's pretty cool. And so, yeah, I think the key aspects around cost and schedule are the perception problems and are the real problems. And that is what we have been building our business to solve.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on the community piece as well. I think the engagement of the community is how you manage all of the challenges, whatever they are, because it is, as you say, it's a local challenge and you need to deal with that specific challenge, not a whole industry perception.
Yeah.
And from a Last Energy perspective, obviously you have a lot happening at the moment. I know you're very busy. You've got a lot of different things on the go right now. But what's next? What does the future look like for you over the next year or two?
Yeah, I mean, we've built a really robust pipeline of projects across our target European geographies. And so we've locked up some site control and are negotiating others. And starting to prepare some of our initial filings, or we're in some of the processes around permitting and licensing. So it's sort of the basic, again, it's, you know, same process, maybe different regulator or different words, but it's the same process around what's your environmental impact, what's your technology look like, what are your specs, all that kind of stuff. In parallel, we're starting to execute some of our supply agreements and are even starting to think about when to put down deposits on long lead time equipment. And remember, the beauty of having the same thing every time across that pipeline of 10 or 12 projects, I'm not even sure which is going to be first, but I know the product looks the same in each place. So we can start putting some deposits down on equipment that takes time to fabricate and that kind of stuff. So that's the next 12 months. And then we'll be working on everything going according to plan. We're working on site prep and starting to commission our first unit on the back half of that second year.
On the geography point, you touched on it briefly there. Where is it you're targeting? Obviously, Europe, US, are they the main regions of focus?
Yeah, we're headquartered here in the US, but our pipeline is across the United Kingdom, Netherlands, Poland, and Romania. So two Western, two Eastern European countries, where there are real constraints around power supply and real power price challenges. Here in the US, there's some local challenges around power, but we still have very cheap natural gas. So it's not as competitive a market for us.
Yeah, I think in the UK at the moment, it was yesterday or today, there's a news article from the chief CEO of the government power, basically saying how data centers are such a big problem with regards to the power consumption in the coming years. So, you know, you're correct. Obviously, as you know, these regions, and there are other regions, are experiencing a real crunch right now, but they're also now starting to realize what's coming, which is the big problem.
Yeah, the UK is particularly, I don't know if funny is the right word, data centers are like 3% of their power consumption. Right. Because it's not a huge country. It doesn't have a lot of industry. But the other side of that equation is it's a huge service based economy. Right. If you think about London and the data requirements and the latency requirements of having this financial institutional hub, you can't just say, oh, I'll just put that data center, you know, in mainland Europe. So yeah, not only is it a huge demand segment today, but you have to increase it because it is the backbone of the rest of your entire economy. But you better figure out a way to power it, because otherwise you're just going to be spinning your wheels. So it's a really interesting, I don't know how many people have really tied all those dots together, but I think some of the top level politicians certainly have, and they're really struggling to find a solution.
Yeah, definitely. And we could talk about that for quite a while, because obviously it's a region that where I am, but you're also seeing the data centers move away from the hubs, which obviously gives the flexibility for solutions such as what we're talking about today. But we'll do that another day when you're active in the UK, we can look at that again.
Right.
Couple more questions I'd just like to get your input on, really. It's interesting to hear from people that have come into the sector to see what their views are of the industry. So we've touched on quite a lot of challenges around power, which obviously is probably, as I say, you know, it's in the top two or three, whoever you talk to. But are there any key challenges you think the sector faces across the rest of 2024?
I don't know if I'm a good expert to ask around anything other than power, frankly. I could certainly see supply chain constraints becoming a problem if the demand, if the expected demand starts to materialize. I also think there's a real risk, probably not over the next 9 months, but maybe over the next 2 or 3 years, of having a financial bubble sort of come up, you know, start to show around the development platform valuations, right? That you're getting a lot of infrastructure money flowing into the space with really big eyes. And it's still a development process, right? You can only accelerate things so much. And so they're you know, similar to maybe what we've seen solar development platforms over the last 4 years. They were the darling, and now they've started to sort of like, oh boy, that pipeline's not materializing. I could see that same risk happening in the digital infrastructure space as well. I think the other asset, one of the things that I hear a lot from the data center space, this idea about young talent and sort of like how to attract people and all that kind of stuff. And we talk about that a lot in the nuclear industry as well. I sort of generally feel like that's a made up concern. Like where there is growth, where there is opportunity, people will flow to. And it's not like it is such a technical aspect, right? It's not like, you know, legal contractual structures, project development is a real estate business, right? Like I think general contractors, right? That's any sort of construction, electrical trade technicians, like maybe that's the core challenge, but people will flow to where there is opportunity and where there is capital. So I think that is maybe a little bit overblown.
Yeah, it's an interesting point on the young people. I think the biggest problem the sector had or has, and it probably is similar to nuclear from my knowledge of that industry, is we make it more sound more complicated than it actually is, which then puts young people off from looking at it. It's not that they're not there. It's just they're choosing to go somewhere else. And I think that's the same opinion that you have.
And it's a little bit of an approach. It's a little bit of an approach mentality. I think a lot of times I observe this in the nuclear space as well. People say, oh, I want to attract people to the space, but they don't want to give them responsibility, right? They don't actually want to give them like real opportunity. They want to like push off their busy work on people, right? And yeah, no one wants to do that. It doesn't matter. Like you can't like put that, we say lipstick on a pig. I don't know if that's a UK expression. You can't make that look attractive, right? Yes, when you start out, you do a lot of grunt work, but you have to give people the path and you have to be willing to like bring people into meetings and let them sort of take ownership and let them make some mistakes, right? And you can do that in a way that's not business critical, right? Like every industry figures that out. And I think when you really give those people an opportunity, like there are some absolute rock star young people that are just generalists and they're hungry to learn and they work really hard. And we've got a whole team of young people that are just knocking it out of the park because we've given them a little bit of training, just enough to be dangerous. And then you point and shoot and they'll just hustle and make things happen. So, I think it's a mentality, not a, oh, woe is us. We need all these new things type thing.
Yeah, definitely. Another point that I could talk about all day, so we'll end it there, but I'm on your side. I agree with you. Two more questions before we close up. If you could ask everyone in the sector to start or stop doing one thing, what would it be?
Ooh, start or stop doing one thing. I mean, mine would be pretty tactical, right? I think it's this idea of you need power solutions. You need to place a lot of bets on your different power solutions. So like one thing I always say is like we could do technical diligence on our product till the cows come home, right? Like there's a lot of this like, oh, I need to, you know, kick it over to the technical team to research. And they're saying, oh yeah, we're spending the next 12 months researching different technologies. And like, what the hell are we doing with that, right? Like, yeah, you should enter into power purchase agreements with geothermal and with nuclear, and not just us, right? Do other nuclear companies. And whatever weird storage solutions are out there at this point in time, right? Like there are 500 companies tackling the sort of distributed energy solution. I don't know, I made that number up. Maybe it's 1,000 around decarbonized energy solutions. And if we don't get off our butts and start like progressing real projects together, we're going to be having the same conversation a decade from now. And so I think that's the like, let's stop making it harder than it is. Let's let the data center industry build data centers, let the energy space, climate tech space build energy solutions. And not all of them will succeed the same way not all of your development projects succeed, right? That is just the nature of the world that we live in. But we're not going to have any solutions or any growth if we can't kind of get off our butts and go do it. So we definitely have partners that take that mentality. So it's unfair to say the whole data center space. But yeah, I think there's it's lost some of that, like, hey, let's get off our butts and move fast and break things sort of mentality.
Definitely. And final question before we close out, you've given some great advice to employees looking to recruit people, which I think is, you know, give these young people an opportunity, which is a very, very good point. But how about some advice for people looking to join the sector? So if you could give one piece of advice to anyone looking to join the industry, what would it be?
Well, maybe I'll make it a plug for us, right? Because we're always hiring and growing. I mean, like, if you're willing to work hard and you might have to do a bit of networking, kind of reaching out to people. But people are generally pretty open to having a conversation. Like, you can go to these conferences just as a student, and usually there's discounts, or you can just loiter around the event, right? And just message a bunch of people on LinkedIn, and they'll have coffee with you or have a beer with you or whatever. And it is kind of a walled off ecosystem, but you can get brought into that tent quite easily if you're just sort of personable and ask good questions. And someone will give you a shot. And then it's about grabbing that by the horns, right? So you're going to do grunt work. It happens, but find someone that's willing to kind of mentor you and show you and like teach you some of what they know. And there's so much growth in the space, right? Both from our side on the power supply and on the data center industry itself, that you're not going to have a problem, but you're going to have to work hard.
Yeah, definitely. And the networking aspect of it is really important, and it's a good point to highlight. Thanks for your time. Really enjoyed that conversation. So it's interesting because a lot of my conversations do talk about power. I've talked to a few similar organizations around the solution, and I think we're seeing more of it. It's becoming more prominent, and it's definitely where the industry is going. So thanks for your insight on what you guys are doing, and also on how the sector can develop over the next few years and hopefully manage the power challenge that we are facing now and is only going to increase.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it doesn't increase if we're successful and some of our other peers. But no, Andy, thanks so much for having me on.
Pleasure. And where can the listeners find out more about yourself and Last Energy?
Yeah, of course. So you can Google Last Energy. It's lastenergy.com is the website. You can find me and our team on LinkedIn as well. Keep an eye out for project announcements and permitting processes to come soon.
Excellent. And we'll put the details in the show notes. But thanks again for your time. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll catch up again.
Thanks so much, Andy.